You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Tiki Barber here, sitting in solo today as BT is off for his birthday, and I'm actually not even in my home office as I'm used to being in for these simulcast shows. So if you're watching us on the tube, CBS Sports Network, you're going to see an odd sight behind me. I'm out actually in the Hamptons visiting a friend for the weekend. Tracy needed some time away from the kids, as did I. See some beach, see some warm weather, and then a nice pool and some pampered life for my wife for a couple of days while my mother-in-law and father-in-law watch our two beautiful daughters. But there's a crazy painting behind me if you're watching this on TV. It's by, and I know people are going to ask, I'm just going to tell you right away. It's by Micheline Thomas, who's from Camden, New Jersey. She is an artist based in, she does things that with really elaborate colors and designs, and it's a little bit off the wall. So if you're watching us on the tube, you get a little bit confused by what you're seeing when you're looking at me. It's just some art. The guy's house I'm staying at, Mark Leader, has a lot of crazy art. It's beautiful, but it's a little bit crazy. We have a really good show for you today. We're going to start with something that I think is capturing the sports world's attention as we chat about Bubba Wallace and this incident that happened at Talladega, and as NASCAR tries to clarify all the things that have gone on, their investigation into it, their response to it, and some of the criticisms that they have fairly or unfairly gotten because of it. We're going to talk to Jason McAteer from Liverpool. He's a midfielder, former midfielder for Liverpool at the end of this hour. Liverpool, as we talked about yesterday, if you're listening to the end of our show, we got distracted by the Chelsea-Man City match, because if Man City lost that match, then Liverpool became EPL champions for the first time in 30 years. So we're going to talk to Jason coming up in a couple of minutes, and then we're going to get on some other things, including Tom Brady and this odd post that he put up yesterday. And I'm not so sure that he's sending the right message, even though I might be misreading it. But we'll get to that in a second. We'll start with NASCAR. Now, we all know how NASCAR has benefited from being one of the first sports to come back from the COVID pandemic and the stoppages that happened in all sports. And I grew up a little bit of a NASCAR fan because I was from Southwest Virginia. I wasn't into cars or driving or anything like that, even though I did drive fast whenever I got my license at 16. But I followed it tertiarily. So I was kind of on the edge of a NASCAR fan. And then when I turned 25 years old, my good buddy, Chris Vaughn, who's like a brother to me, got me a driving lesson at Pocono. I was living in New York, obviously playing for the Giants. And we had a weekend, about a weekend literally now, 20 years ago, I had a driving lesson up there. And they sit you down in the car, they tell you all the ins and outs of it, they strap you in, and they let you go drive. And I'm flying around this track, I mean, 160 miles an hour, and they're telling you, you know, you got to look at you can't look at the front of your car like you regularly do when you're in a regular sedan, because if you do, you're going to be in the wall before you know it because you're going so fast, and how to ride the turns. And I got to tell you, I got out of that car after an hour or so, part of it just kind of testing, but then a lot of it, you know, really flying around this track with my buddy Chris and one other trainer on the track. And I was hooked, man. I can see how these guys get addicted to the adrenaline rush of NASCAR. But honestly, I always, as a NASCAR observer, I won't say I was an Uber fan, but an observer, right? I would pay attention to it. I felt like I was my minority, or certainly in the minority, because there weren't any black drivers. And it wasn't something that I would have aspired to be, because it didn't seem like something that was in my wheelhouse or would ever be in my wheelhouse, or why would I consider this? And then not to mention the fact that the imagery that always seems to float around NASCAR is this Southern, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but a Southern, you know, good old boyness that almost excluded minority drivers. And then Bubba Wallace comes around. And Bubba Wallace has a strong history in trucks, in the truck series. And I think his highest finish in the truck series is in the top 10, maybe 8 or so. He's been on the NASCAR Cup circuit, the one that we all normally watch, for a while now. But he hasn't really done that well until recently. At Martinsville a couple of weeks ago, he finished just outside of the top 10. But that almost didn't matter, because that was the first race after the NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. And he came out of that race and went into that race, I should say, demanding that NASCAR get rid of the Confederate imagery. And really because he wanted the sport to be more accepted by more people. And by flying a Confederate flag, a symbol of division, by the way, for this country, a symbol of a battle flag for the South as they tried to secede from the Union, something that had no place and obviously had a connotation of oppression for brown and black people in this country forever. He called for its removal. And whether you're surprised by it or not, NASCAR did the right thing and got rid of the Confederate flag, because they don't want to exclude anyone, or at least they don't want to appear to exclude anyone from being able to take enjoyment or attend or enjoy the sport of stock car racing. And Bubba was champion for that, and he should have. And he had one of his best finishes in that race. He finished 11th. I remember reading about him battling with Jimmy Johnson, and Jimmy Johnson got inside the top 10. Bubba didn't, but it didn't matter, because the conversation was all of a sudden different, and it felt different. And Bubba took a forward-facing place in it. Not to mention his car was badass. It was black matte, Black Lives Matter inspired on the side, on his number 43. I mean, it just looked cool. And so if you were watching your first NASCAR race, say you were an African-American, a black American, watching your first NASCAR race because of the news that you had seen, and also because there weren't any other sports going on, you see Bubba Wallace, you know, championing this cause, this social justice cause, with a Black Lives Matter matte black number 43 car, and it was just cool, right? It felt like the tenor of the conversation was changing, and most importantly, a lot of the other drivers, all of them white, kind of accepted this. You know, it wasn't like they were worried about losing fans. It wasn't like they were worried about some of the backlash that might come. And ultimately, it did. The following week in Talladega, which was last week, we know what happened. There was a banner that was flown over the track, the Super Speedway, with a Confederate flag on it. There was, you know, obviously not protests, but lots of noise around this event, this NASCAR event down in Alabama. And then, worst of all, there was a noose that was found in the garage of Bubba Wallace. Now, NASCAR reacted immediately, and they reacted the only way that they could, because given the circumstances, given the situation, given the coincidences that led to this, it seemed too ideal to not be a real incredible threat. Here is Steve Phelps. He's the president of NASCAR, talking about their initial reaction when they heard about this noose in Bubba Wallace, the only African-American, the only black driver in NASCAR's garage last week.
In hindsight, I should have used the word alleged in our statement. Many of you have seen the photo. As you can see from the photo, the noose was real, as was our concern for Bubba. With similar emotion, others across our industry and our media stood up to defend the NASCAR family, our NASCAR family, because they are part of the NASCAR family too. We were proud to see so many stand up for what's right.
Now, the reason that he had to make that statement, Stephen Phelps, he had to make that statement is because NASCAR ended up getting crushed after the FBI investigation ruled that that was not a noose intended for Bubba Wallace's or a threat to Bubba Wallace. It had been there since October of 2019 and was just happened to be in the stall that Bubba Wallace was assigned in Talladega and was not a threat. And so they got kind of thrown under the bus for jumping to conclusions too soon. But at the end of the day, why is there a noose pulling down a garage pull? You know what I mean? It's a garage is up. It's not automatic. You don't push a button. You got to pull it down. And most people just have ropes that are hanging. But there was a noose in a garage at a NASCAR facility in the South. Why does that make any sense? Bubba Wallace actually addressed this, and it's hard to disagree with his point.
Yes, it was a garage pull for our stall at Talladega, but that was in the solid shape of a noose. And when my guys seen that, when my crew member had seen that, who happened to be African-American, he did his research first, and I was very proud of that. David Cropps, a guy I'll stand by in any trenches any day, walked up and down the garages to make sure he wasn't overreacting. And when he seen that the other garage pulls were basically just a solid piece of rope, no knots in them, and we had a knot that was in the shape of a noose. Yeah.
Now, that's credit of ESPN, by the way. Bubba Wallace talking about his reaction or his crew's reaction to finding his garage pull in the shape of a noose, which just brings back to the same question I just asked. Who the hell makes a noose for a garage pull? Now, we're not going to show the noose on CBS Sports Network. It's deplorable. It's despicable to show an imagery that was used to crucify blacks in this country for hundreds of years. And in fact, I can't even say that it's done because it happened a few weeks ago, even though we don't necessarily know all of the details. But a young black man was found hanging in a park a few weeks ago. And so you don't want to jump to conclusions about that. I'm not talking about that. But the point is, a noose, the symbolism is it's grotesque. You're not confusing it for anything. It's not a convenient way to pull down a garage. And so the question that NASCAR needed to answer, and I'm glad that they answered it, and even if they do get criticized for overreacting, it was the right thing to do to protect the integrity of your sport, to protect the emotions of the sport and this time, this country is going through this reckoning in so many different ways. And to have that coincidentally happen right after the Confederate flag is banned from NASCAR events just doesn't make any sense. And even if it did make sense, who the hell is using a noose to pull down a garage? It just didn't make sense. And so I stand by NASCAR. And even though they're getting some criticism for fully getting the story before they came out and talked so harshly about this, I don't know how else you would react. If a noose is found anywhere, if a noose is found in your driveway, if a noose is found on the side of a highway, it doesn't matter where if you find one, your immediate thought is going to be this is a threat to somebody or something despicable has happened. And so NASCAR doesn't need to apologize here. I think Bubba Wallace had a lot of calm in how he was talking about this. Because you can imagine the emotional height that he felt when his assistant or his garage mate found this and did the research around it. Now, the most beautiful thing about this whole incident is that every single one of Bubba Wallace's peers, all of those drivers down in Talladega, stood behind him and supported him in the national anthem as it was played. And it was an unbelievable picture. I think Bubba put it up on his social media, taking a selfie with all of the other drivers behind him. I've always thought that sports is has always been a way to create a brotherhood and an understanding and a bridge. And we heard this earlier in the year from Vic Fangio talking about, well, I don't see racism in the locker room. You usually don't, because by the time you get to the professional ranks where you have to be vetted and you have to pass through so many different filters, if those biases are there, or at least if they're outward, you're going to get identified and you're going to get pushed out of the games, of the sports. And so to see that his players, his fellow drivers were behind him that strongly made me feel proud of a sport that I liked a little bit when I was a kid. And honestly, I like a lot more now that they've made the decisions that they have, that they've supported Bubba Wallace, even if it was at the expense of their reputation, in a sense, to jumping to the conclusion. And I wonder, because of the void, or whether because of how they've reacted to this, has NASCAR picked up fans? Of course, they've lost some, because there are those that have these bigoted attitudes and these bigoted mindsets that are never going to change. But I wonder, has NASCAR picked up some fans? 855-212-4CBS. Let me know. Are you a NASCAR fan now? Or if you're not a NASCAR fan anymore because you don't like what they did, let me know. 855-212-4227. We'll get your calls on that and some other things as well, especially this next topic that we're going to get into. Tom Brady. He's been practicing at a private school down in Tampa or outside of Tampa. And we all know what's happening in Tampa right now and Florida at large. The cases of corona are skyrocketing. He quoted a president. I'm not sure if it was the right quote. We'll get to that next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more information and eligibility. Tiki Barber here on a Friday from the Hamptons, Mark Leader's house. Out here and somewhere in the Hamptons. I won't give you my exact location, but having some good times out here talking NASCAR. Ultimately going to get to Tom Brady here in a second. Jason McAteer from Liverpool. He's now doing commentary for the Reds. They win their first English Premier League title in 30 years. We'll talk with him about the history of Liverpool and this long drought that they had for the English Premier League title. They did win the Champions League last year, which is a different championship, and also about Jurgen Klopp, their manager, who has been unbelievable for them. They've crafted a fantastic team. We don't talk a ton of soccer on our show, but this is a national story, the way that soccer, at least the way that Liverpool has started to take over the English Premier League and the Champions League as well. So that's coming up in our next segment at 3:40. Jason McAteer, former Liverpool midfielder and now commentator, will join us to talk some soccer, if you like soccer. Okay, Tom Brady. Now, I am a big, big, big fan of Tom Brady. I spent some time with him early in his career when he was doing stuff in New York, and we would hang out, and he had an event that I went to, and my wife Tracy took a picture with him, and I got cropped out of that picture because Tracy's taller than me, and Tom Brady just looked beautiful standing next to Tracy and not me. But, you know, at least I made the picture, you know, the actual picture, even though not the cropped one. But I've always been a fan of Tom. He is a champion. He is an unbelievable leader. He's got great grit. He's got perseverance. He's an elevator. He makes people around him, players around him, better. And we all know the limitations that he's had in skill positions over the course of his career. Now, he's turned some really good and he's had some really good players around him. Wes Welker has won. Julian Edelman is around him now, or at least he was. Rob Gronkowski, that combination was one of the more prolific quarterback tight end combinations in football. But he's always been that guy that you turn to be the example. Right. And if you're going to be a good team, your best player, your future Hall of Famer, better be the hardest worker. And that's what Tom Brady was with the New England Patriots. And now he's in Tampa and he's trying to do the same thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he's working out. Like, he's got these guys at this private school. And I know this is private school because it's the school that my brother's daughter went to, who's a lacrosse player. She went to this private school. And so it's kind of tucked away. The only reason people know about it, and at least Rhonda jokes about this, is because people were sneaking in with telephoto lenses and taking these long distance photos because Tom likes to do things in private. But now Tom is starting to get criticized because he is working out with all of these guys. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a handful of positive coronavirus tests, COVID tests, COVID-19 tests. A couple of their coaches also tested positive. And Florida in general is going through this explosion of cases, mainly because they opened. We heard their governor say, we're open for business. So they opened up the beaches, they opened up the bars and the restaurants, and people started socializing again, a lot of them without the mask, the proper protections. And we saw cases skyrocket. And so now, in the world of sports, Tom Brady is starting to get criticized because he's out working with his teammates, as he always does, because that's how Tom Brady gets consistently to the postseason and ultimately to championships, because he develops, he goes out of his way to develop a chemistry with his team. And it's one of the reasons that he's so great. But now, given the circumstances that this country is in, is that smart? Is that prudent for Tom Brady to be out and about with his teammates, who some of whom could be doing the right things, socially distanced and taking care of themselves and washing their hands and wearing masks when they're in public? Or is this irresponsible? Because some of these guys could be knuckleheads. Nah, I'm fine. I don't have to worry about getting coronavirus and be carrying it around and passing it on to every single one of these guys at this camp. These are the criticisms that are now heading towards Tom Brady. When you're always at the top, you always seem to try to get knocked down. So maybe that's what it is, but maybe not, because Tom addressed this in a post on social media, and he used a quote from President Franklin Roosevelt's 1933 presidential inauguration. And the money quote in here is, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." And when I read that, it kind of infuriates me. As much as I like Tom Brady, it almost infuriates me. Because who is he, despite his success as a football player and as a leader, to thumb his nose at a pandemic that's taking over this country? Just because you're invincible on a football field doesn't mean that you're invincible off of it for an invisible virus that you might not even know that you have. It could be passing on to anyone that you come in contact with. I mean, come on, Tom Brady. I would think that he would be better than this. And I know that so many people are assuming that he has this product, this TB12. We've all heard of this, right? This TB12 nutritional supplements and I don't know, things that make you healthier as in your life. Well, if maybe you didn't or did see this about 3 weeks ago, right at the height, maybe it's longer than that, maybe about a month ago, at the height of the coronavirus case growth, the TB12 method put out a post that felt insensitive. It was almost like, drink whatever this TB12 product is, and you know what, you'll boost your immune health, your immune system. And so it's almost like, look at me for advice on how to beat the coronavirus. It was insensitive. I think it was pulled pretty quickly because it didn't. I don't care what you're making Tom Brady or your team. It's not going to stop a pandemic from happening. Your immune system's not going to automatically turn invincible because you're taking the TB12 products. Now, that was my initial thought. And I think a lot of people are following that talking point regarding Tom Brady's quoting of FDR from his 1933 presidential address. But I think I might be selling Tom Brady short. At least I was selling Tom Brady short. Because now I'm going to, when I think about it, and I put some thought into it, which is something we all should do before we react, even though I didn't initially, but I did before I got on air and talked about this. Because I could just kill Tom Brady, crush him, excoriate him for being reckless with himself and with his teammates. But when I think back to the history, when I go back and research the history of what was going on in 1932, when Roosevelt thumped her and got into the presidency, the Great Depression was ending. And Franklin Roosevelt's inauguration speech was highly anticipated because he wanted to know what the incoming president was going to do after all of this depressive time that America was going through. And so his speech was essentially saying, we need to have hope, right? Fear is what it is. Like we're scared about our future, but we need to have hope. And so going back and looking at the history of the quote, not just what we think it means because of the words that are in it. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Forget the words, but what it means and what the speech meant was deeper than just stop being afraid of coronavirus. What it actually means, and what I'm going to assume Tom Brady was saying, because I know he's a smart guy, and I know he's more introspective than what is initially put on a piece of paper or on a social media platform. What I think he's saying is we are going through very tough times, and in many different ways, one from the pandemic, one from the social issues that are happening, social protests and demonstrations that are happening across this country, the reckoning, as I keep saying, for Black Americans in this country. But that doesn't mean that we can't have hope and not get caught up in the fear so much so that it paralyzes us. And so because I like Tom Brady, and despite the fact that my initial reaction was to crush Tom Brady, I'm actually going to commend Tom Brady for trying to use his position as a champion, as a leader, as this great example in the most popular sport in the United States to send a message of hope. At least that's what I hope Tom Brady meant. We'll see if I'm right. Maybe he'll respond. I doubt it, but I'll ask my brother to get him to respond. 855-212-4227. Tom Brady, if you love him, if you hate him, I think if his message was that, then it's actually a good thing for all of us. Soccer is on the other side of this break. Jason McAteer is going to join us. He was a former midfielder for Liverpool. We're going to talk about their most recent, you know, it was a long break before their championships. 30 years for the last time Liverpool won an English Premier League championship. But Jason McAteer is going to join us on the other side of this break. But first, here's an update from Richard Ackerman. Richard, take it away. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when I will answer one of your questions. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day. Tiki Barber here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Excited to welcome to the program Jason McAteer, former Liverpool star. He now is a contributor and analyst. He's played in some games with them in the past couple of years as well as an ambassador, so to speak. Jason, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How's everyone over there?
We're trying to keep well, trying to stay sane and safe and everything else in between, and working from home, which is good and bad. You know, sometimes you get overwhelmed when you're working at home, but it's nice not to have a commute. You joined Liverpool in 1995, I believe it was. It was right after their last title, or before their last title. So, you know, you've known this drought for a while. How much does this mean for Liverpool, this English Premier League championship? Obviously, they won the champions last year, but this EPL championship, how much does this mean to Anfield and Liverpool?
Well, thanks for reading off them dates. You're telling everyone my age.
I'm about the same, though.
You're right. You know, we've waited 30 years for this moment. You know, I've been a Liverpool fan since I was a young boy, and as you mentioned there, I was lucky enough to play for the football club for nearly 4.5 years. And, you know, we fell short. My team was a phenomenal team. Robbie Fowler, Steve McMahon, John Barnsley, David James, Jamie Redknapp. You know, we were a phenomenal team. But unfortunately, you know, for one reason or another, we come so close the three or four seasons that I was there. And, you know, it's always left me with that regret of never bringing success to a very successful football club. So, yeah, I lived with that for a long, long time. And, you know, when you retire, you become a fan and you go to the games and you watch. And as you've mentioned, I'm an ambassador for the club and I work for the TV channel as well. So I'm kind of behind the ropes and spurring the team on. So I've seen how difficult it's been over the last, certainly the last 10 years, being close to everybody at the club and how much we've all wanted it as fans. And at one point, it seemed so far away. But then Jürgen arrived and we really had a belief that something good was going to happen. And it's taken 4 years. And last night, the dream came true.
Yeah, no, when you talk about Jürgen Klopp, when he got there, he had previous success at Dortmund. A couple of German titles he won there. And this year, it's unbelievable. They're 23 points clear on the table. So it's nuts how dominant this season was. I mean, I think, what was it, 14 or 15 games they won in a row without losing. And, you know, what was the difference? Like, how can one season be so different from all the others? And I know the squad is full, right? Sadio Mane and Bobby Firmino and really all of them, they're phenomenal. The squad is great. You know, what made the biggest difference this season over all the previous ones?
I mean, you've played elite sport. You know what it's like. It's, success is a process. It's not something that comes instantly. And, you know, you've got to work as a collective outfit, and you've got to believe in the manager. You've got to believe in his philosophy. But the biggest thing is trust. You know, if you trust him and you know, he mightn't be playing in the team, but he makes you part of the squad. And when you come on the pitch, you know, you'll give everything for him. And all the players have done that. And his recruitment has been great. It's been fantastic. The owners as well, FSG, you know, they've been right behind him. And they've been amazing owners since they took over, you know, building new stands of the football club and, you know, expanding the attendance as well, which obviously brings finances into the football club, which then obviously helps Jürgen. But yeah, I mean, we've had some real disappointments while Jürgen's been the manager. He's got us to some big finals, the Europa League final, the League Cup final, and then two Champions League finals. But last year's Champions League final, as close as we came to winning the Premier League by almost, we lost it by 1 point. We won the Champions League, and I think that installed a confidence amongst the players that they belong. They belong to dine at the top table. They are the real deal. And, you know, if we start this season really well, which is what we did, then, you know, we'll push Manchester City all the way. And that adversity that we've been through, I think, toughens you as sports people. I think you've got to go through adversity. You've got to find yourself when it's not going well. You've got to roll your sleeves up and you've got to look at yourself and give everything when it's not going well. And Jürgen's got a team full of them kind of players. And it was just a matter of time. You know, he's a fantastic manager and he's got some fantastic players.
Yeah, no, you can definitely see that. You see it from afar, and his attitude and the way he demonstrates and shows, it's just amazing. Jason McAteer is joining us here, former Liverpool star. He's an ambassador, contributor, and commentator of the squad over at Liverpool. You know, Jason, European soccer is starting to gain some traction here, and you talk about the ownership group of Liverpool. It's also the same group that owns the Boston Red Sox. Do you think that, you know, the success that Liverpool has had and the likability, I mean, it's really the only way you can talk about it, because they're such a likable team. There's no guys that you root against on that squad. Does you think that's going to help translate into the American market? In some pockets of it, it's huge here, but a lot of American sports fans aren't following. You think this helps?
It will help. You know, the likability factor is massive in a sports company. You know, having American owners and trying to break a really difficult market for soccer in general will certainly help. You know, they'll know how to market the football club. Like you say, that they know their way around American sports. And, you know, it is very difficult to break that four sports that you've got that dominate so much with a sport that is quite alien in some parts of America. But, you know, we were on tour there last season. You know, we've got fans, you know, from all different states. We predominantly were in Boston and New York, and thousands came out to support us. We've got lots of fantastic fan clubs right across America that are growing all the time with the club's success. But listen, Liverpool, as an ambassador, you know, I'm privileged to go around the world, you know, into Australia, into Asia, out to America, excuse me, last season. And I get to see that the enormity of this football club. This is a massive, massive organisation, Liverpool. They are phenomenal all around the world from a marketing point of view, and they produce success. And, you know, it's phenomenal to think that we haven't won the Premier League title for 30 years, yet we're the one of the biggest football clubs around the world. I mean, that's phenomenal. That just tells you how good the marketing is. You know, we've got a fantastic man in charge of commercial, Billy Hogan, who's part of the FSG group. He does a fantastic job in the commercial department, looking after the partnerships and moving the club in the right direction. And obviously they see, you know, potential market outlets in America that could come on board, and I'm sure they're speaking to them all the time. So winning the Premier League title and being European champions certainly helps if you're trying to break an American market.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question that, and I only ask you this question. So my brother, I have a twin brother, as you may or may not know, he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers are owned by the Glazers, and the Glazers own Manchester United, as we know on both sides of the pond, so to speak. And he got me into European soccer by saying, you guys got to pick a team. He said, pick a team, any team, and that's going to be your team, and you'll follow them, and you'll end up liking the sport. And so initially, I picked Man City. And he was like, no, any team but Man City. you can pick Chelsea, you can pick whatever, Crystal Palace if you want, but don't pick Man City. I ultimately chose Liverpool, so I've been a Liverpool fan for the last few years. But why is there so much animosity towards Man City? And I bring up Man City because Man City had to lose yesterday in order for Liverpool to clinch. Liverpool didn't clinch on the pitch. They clinched by Man City losing to Chelsea yesterday. But why is there such like ire towards Man City?
Well, first of all, I would say there's more rivalry with Manchester United, which is the other team in Manchester, you know, but I think the thing comes, and you know sport better than anyone, you know, when you've got a team that is dominating a certain league, then people don't like that. They want them to fail. They don't want them to do well. I think Manchester City, obviously, with all their millions that have been ploughed in from their Middle Eastern owners, you know, certainly it leaves us a little bit jealous, I think, at times. You know, the fact that they can open the checkbook up and they can go and buy the best player in the world if they want to. They entice Pep Guardiola, arguably one of the best managers in the world. You know, they've expanded with their training ground and their ground, and you know, they've dominated English football for the last, you know, two or three seasons. So there's a jealous aspect to that. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think the football that they play and the product they have, Manchester City, is fantastic. And I actually like Manchester City. Now, if you want me to talk about Manchester United, I could speak about that all night, my friends.
Yeah, I get into debates, and I half don't know what I'm talking about with my brother about Manchester United. Let me ask you about
a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're a good-looking brother.
Of course I am. We're identical twins, but I'm better looking, if that makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all, but it does. Let me ask you about a Chelsea player, Christian Pulisic, who is American. He scored the first goal against Man City yesterday. You know, he was in Germany. I think he was at Dortmund as well. I mentioned Dortmund earlier, but I think he was at Dortmund. Now he's back in Chelsea. He's in the EPL at Chelsea. He seems like our best effort in European soccer. How good can he be?
Well, he's at a fantastic football club, and you know, they've got a young manager in Frank Lampard who's just taken over Chelsea at the beginning of the season. Frank is relatively inexperienced, but he's a Chelsea legend. But what Frank has, and also Chelsea had a transfer embargo as well, where they couldn't sign any players. So in that respect, it helped Frank to play all the younger players. So kind of Chelsea have taken a step backwards and invested in youth. So they have a very young squad. Nice little mix of experience in there. And Pulisic has obviously come in. Took him a little bit of time to find his feet because the Premier League, as you know, is the most demanding league in the world. You know, all the best players are there. They play a lot of football and are under a lot of pressure. And it takes time to settle. But Pulisic has had to bide his time, and he's grown a little bit. He's put a bit of weight on. He's been brought in and out the team. And now he's finding regular football. And, you know, he's got young players around him that he can bounce off, he can talk to, who he can relate to, who he can befriend. And, you know, I think having a manager like Frank Lampard, whose door will be always open if he wants to go there and chat to someone, I think we'll bring the best out of him and bring him on even more. Germany was a good start for him. It was a good level playing field for him to learn. And now he's obviously got his opportunity at Chelsea. And I think he'll be a fantastic success. I think Chelsea will be strong rivals for Liverpool in about 18 months' time. I think they're signing some good young players.
Yeah.
And, it'll be interesting to see. But I'll tell you one player I played with because I left Liverpool and I ended up signing for Sunderland. I played with Claudio Reyna.
Oh, Claudio, UVA guy. He went to University of Virginia. That's my alma mater. Of course I know Claudio.
And his son is at Borussia Dortmund, which is where he was signed from.
Gotcha.
So, it's a small world.
I like that. There's lots of interconnectivity here.
Yeah.
Jason, I appreciate you. Jason McAteer, former Liverpool star. He is a commentator and ambassador for Liverpool. You and all of your comrades will never walk alone, man. Congratulations to Liverpool on the EPL championship and good luck going forward. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Jason McAteer. Yeah, he bounced around a little bit, but as he said at the beginning of the interview, he grew up a Liverpool fan. And so I can imagine playing for, especially with European soccer, which is a different animal than some of the sports we're used to here in the United States. If that's your club, that's your club. It's like me with the Redskins. I grew up a Redskins fan. I never got a chance to play for them, but even being a rival, it made me hate them. You know what I mean? I don't think if you play for a rival, you grew up a Liverpool fan, you play for a rival, you're still a Liverpool fan. But the Reds are EPL champions as well as Champions League champions. Great season they had. It's still going, by the way. It's just they're so far clear in the pool that there's no way anybody is going to catch them. Okay, Brandon Marshall had an interesting comment about the Green Bay Packers and what they have done to Aaron Rodgers. We'll discuss it at the top of the hour and see if you guys agree. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.